Your first one has a lot to do with civil service reform. What makes you think it will be a priority in 2013?
Mostly because I've heard a lot of folks talk about it, and I think the continuing media pressure on federal employees are overpaid. There's studies that say, last year we saw a study that said federal employees work fewer hours than their private sector counterparts. It, you know, all these studies that I personally think are very surface level analysis of federal versus private, and I think that's a very hard comparison to make. However, I think that's really put this focus and pressure on people to take a hard look at both the general schedule and civil service rules and regulations as a whole, and I think that's going to keep building and lead members of Congress to decide that this might be an issue they want to tackle, and several of them have talked about that over the last year as well.
What are some of the specific changes you think could come to the system?
You know, I do think that people will look at pay, but I think that's so much more difficult to tackle is whether to change the general schedule into something that's pay for performance or to look at giving agencies flexibilities in pay. I do think people will look at other parts of the civil service system, such as making it easier to let managers deal with problem employees, maybe giving them some tools to increase training or increase development opportunities for their employees. But also, I think on the other side of accountability, there are going to be folks in Congress who think that it should be made easier to, you know, terminate federal employees or to give them some sort of more of the stick rather than the carrot in terms of incenting performance.
Do you think the reforms will focus mainly on the current employees or more so on the new hires?
I think most of the reforms, I think if they're going to do any sort of proposals to reform civil service, whether it's the general schedule or other parts of civil service, I think they are going to deal with current federal employees because I'm not sure there's any way you can change it to deal with just future federal employees. You can't have two systems sitting side by side. I think when you see the pay and benefits piece, that oftentimes is dealing with future federal employees. And if they were to go down the road of trying to do some pay for performance or trying to give agencies flexibilities, that may deal with future federal employees. But I think anything that would change regulations in terms of accountability proposals, that will probably deal with current employees.
Your second point really seems to deal a lot with the contracting workforce. What problems do you see popping up as more people choose to leave?
I think there are a couple problems that could arise from that. We're seeing both people leave the workforce because they've decided that maybe, you know, they don't like the way that trends are going in terms of cuts to pay and benefits or just some of the tightening in terms of their ability to have developmental opportunities. But I also think you're seeing retirements are up as well, just purely by the fact that over 50% of the workforce is often eligible to retire, especially in pockets like the senior executive service, where over 50% of those folks are currently eligible to retire. And so then you're going to see those numbers compress a little bit. And that's a problem for succession planning. If agencies don't have strong plans in place in order to do this knowledge transfer, you're going to lose a lot of historical, technical knowledge that goes out the door when people retire or just choose to leave. I think you also see some difficulties with budget pressures in bringing people in and filling those spaces because a lot of folks think, oh, the federal workforce is too big and we need to shed people. But if you do that absent cutting down the programs that you expect the federal government to provide, then you don't have the right folks in place to actually run those programs and make them deliver the quality of services that you need. So I think that's one piece of what you're going to see as people leave federal service.
Do you think shoring up succession planning is one of the biggest steps that should be taken to make sure that knowledge is imparted on the younger workers within the force?
I think it's one piece of it. I do think they need strong succession planning, but I do also think that agencies need onboarding programs, training programs, and development opportunities all the way through from the time you come in maybe early in your career or even if you transfer over mid-career, all the way through the time that you become a senior executive or get ready to leave your position because that's how people have the skills in order to do it. And unfortunately, a lot of what we're seeing is this cutting back on conferences, cutting back on training, cutting back on developmental opportunities. And as much as succession planning and knowledge transfer is important, it's also important to get people, you know, meeting people within their fields, meeting other people in other agencies. It's important to have some of those pieces in place as well to make sure the critical skills are there.
It sounds like that by cutting back on the workshops in order to avoid scandal could actually lead to more scandal in the future.
That's one of the things I've been talking about with folks in my office. We were talking about some of the federal employee scandals that we've seen over the past year, GSA being the largest one, and we saw a whole raft of legislation that came out of Congress based off of the GSA scandal. I think one of the problems is people leave and you don't have the right people in place, or you don't train your employees correctly, you do see mistakes made, or you just see things that aren't done maybe to the level that they could because people have so much on their plates and they're trying to juggle a lot of issues and maybe can't put the focus into things. And now with this combined focus on budgets and combined focus on federal employees that you're seeing come from Congress, I think things that maybe weren't scandal-like in the past, you know, they didn't rise to that level, all of a sudden become scandals as Congress laser focuses in on it and calls people up for hearings, you know, puts pressure on agencies, and then alternately they start cutting things, which is this whole cycle of, I think, making it worse and making it harder for agencies to function, thereby causing more scandals as more mistakes are made.
I'm speaking with Jenny Mattingly, Director of Government Affairs at Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Speaking of Congress, your third point seems to deal a lot with Congress and the budget uncertainty they're presenting in 2013. With talk of a continuing resolution through fiscal year 2013, do you think that's going to affect the way that people are doing their jobs or just trying to get through the everyday?
I do think it makes it really difficult, this whole trend that we've been seeing over the last few years of agencies don't get their individual appropriations coming through Congress. They're running on continuing resolutions. There's this threat of cuts potentially in the future. And so agencies can't do long-term budgeting. They can't maybe find some of the cost savings that they would get if they were doing long-term budgeting and doing long-term contracting in the same way that they have been able to in years past. It puts a lot of pressure on them. And unfortunately, I think given the way that budgets and way that funding is being discussed in Congress are alternately not being discussed, it's often meaning that we're going to keep seeing no appropriations go through. We'll see continuing resolutions or we'll see big omnibus bills. And so it doesn't give the same strategic thought to how budgets are being crafted for agencies. And that is going to make it hard. People are only going to be able to get through on a day-to-day basis in terms of their planning.